Hello and welcome back to Beautiful Faults Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle, and this is episode number 2. I'm just, you guys, what an incredible week I've had. I launched episode number 1 and the podcast in full on Monday, and since then I've just gotten a flurry of really positive messages from both people in my real life and people that I know through social media, and it's just, I'm just so grateful. I'm at a loss for words. I'm just so glad that I can put something out there that is making a small impact on your life in some way, shape, or form. So here we are with episode number 2. This is a topic that I feel, again, passionate about. I think you're going to hear me say that a lot, but that's just kind of how I work. But today we're going to talk about fear and love together and how ironic that is, because technically fear and love cannot coexist. Yes, you heard that right. Fear and love cannot coexist. We'll get into this pretty deeply because I experienced this firsthand myself about, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I started working through my own grief and trauma. And when I realized that I was really living in a place of fear instead of love. I'll get into briefly the little bit of psychology around fear and love. Remember, I do have a degree in psychology, although I do not by any means consider myself an expert. I go to an expert for the psychology stuff, my therapist. But I think it would give this topic a really good foundation to get into a little bit about the neuroscience end of it and the psychology of love and fear. So I pulled up an article that I think really supports this concept that fear and love cannot exist. And I'll just read from it. And I'll also link this in the show notes because it was a pretty lengthy article, but it really hit the nail on the head. The neural circuits for loving and kindness and compassion are in the left prefrontal cortex. When these circuits are activated, it stimulates the vagus nerve to turn on the relaxation response, and it causes the pituitary to release oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, which also makes the body relax, boosts immune and cardiovascular health, reduces blood pressure, and enables people to build a sense of trust and connection. Hate or fear is the absence of love in that the neural circuits for loving kindness and compassion deactivate. The activity of the vagus nerve declines, oxytocin plunges, cortisol rises, so your body gets tense and your blood pressure pumps when you think of someone you hate or dislike or are in a situation of fear. Hate is a byproduct of the fear response. When we sense that we are in danger, a part of our brain called the amygdala triggers the circuits for fear and vigilance to warn us to be more cautious. If we identify an actual threat, it triggers the fight or flight response. Depending on the situation, we may feel a sense of anger and outrage toward the person or people threatening us, aka the enemy. If we cannot immediately act on the fight or flight response because we are in a powerless position to do so, we channel that fear and anger into a desire for revenge, a wish for that person, fear, or people to suffer. The neural circuitry for hate and fear shows that it involves the areas for premeditation, drive, planning, and storytelling. So when I came across this article, when I was looking into love and fear coexisting, I mean, that really explains exactly the physiology of what happens in our brain when we experience both. And if you think about that, this really lends to the theory that love and fear cannot coexist because our brain cannot handle both of those emotions at the same time. Now, another way to state it is that your heart cannot feel love and fear at the same time. My therapist used to, you know, still tells me that you almost cannot feel love and fear at the same time. When I am sitting in his office and I'm talking about something that is causing me great fear, remember, there's a lot of other emotions that come along with fear, anxiety, procrastination, lack of self-confidence. So when I'm sitting in that space of fear, he stops me And he says, I want you to shift your focus right now and think of loving thoughts. I want you to think about something that you love. And immediately when we do so, the circuitry in my brain starts firing differently, which is further proof to me how real fear is and how real love is and how those two emotions really do have an enormous impact, not only on our brains, not only on our bodies, but in our lives. So let's start to translate this into where we are today and facing our fears. Now, fears don't always have to be something negative. They don't always have to be a situation where you're in danger or putting yourself in an at-risk situation that incites a lot of fear. There are four responses to fear. The first one is to fight, to attack, blame, and mistreat. The second one is flight, hide, deny, or sabotage. The third one is to freeze, to shut down, justify, or rationalize. And the fourth one is to face it, to take action, defend, and to connect to that emotion. So I feel that fear does two things. It either sets us in motion or it stops us in our tracks. And I know for me personally that I found myself in both situations. You know, I found myself doing something that is so scary that I didn't really know where to start. I didn't have the courage to, maybe I didn't have the self-confidence to. So that's an example of how it stops us in our tracks and it really prevents us from moving forward. That fear is so great and so overwhelming that it prevents us from moving forward. But on the other side of that is the type of fear that, again, sets us in motion. The type of fear that is so uncomfortable and it lives with us and follows us like a shadow that we'll do anything to get out of that space. And that is fear that is actually productive. Yes, productive fear. How cool is that? I mean, sure, this productive type of fear might fall into still one of the responses of fear, whether it's flight or face it. But it's the kind of fear that propels you forward. Do you find yourself in this type of fear right now in your own life? Maybe you're looking to fix your marriage or relationship. Maybe you're looking to take charge of your health. Maybe it's turning your side hustle or your hobby into a full-time career. Maybe you want to get sober. Maybe you want to finally write that book. Maybe you want to start a charity, or maybe you want to start a business. These are all good types of fear. And yes, I don't want to minimize them because they are still very scary. But if you start to change your mindset on fear being more of a tool to move you forward and less of a tool to set you behind, the whole game changes. When I was getting ready to start this podcast, and the ideas started surfacing in my head probably right as my season was wrapping up last year. You know, it was scary. I didn't really know where to start, but I poked around here and there and did a little bit of research. I followed a couple of really amazing podcasters and took their advice on starting my own podcast. And the one message that I kept hearing over and over and over again, very, very clear, is to start before you're ready. To not wait until everything is so perfectly lined up before putting your plan in motion. And I think that this can apply to pretty much any type of fear that we're facing. You know, the ones that I just mentioned, for example, let me just pick one, starting a charity. You know, sure, there's probably going to be some moving parts that need to be in place. But really all you need to have is the passion and the why in order to take that first step. Sure, it's going to be scary. It's supposed to be scary. But think about the other end of that. Think about what's on the other side of fear. We see quotes all the time about, you know, the glory that sits on the other side of fear. Or everything that you've always wanted is right on the other side of fear. It's just, it's very, very true. You know, you never want to let fear decide your future. You never want that fear to be so big that it stops you from living in your full potential and starting something amazing this amazing might not even be for you, but it might be for others. And you're really going to let fear stop that? I'm not here to judge anyone else's fear, but I can almost guarantee you that at the bottom of that fear is love, that it probably started with love. Going back to that list that I had a minute ago, for example, fixing a marriage, it's a scary thing, but it started with love. Writing a book, there's a good chance that that might feel gigantic. It might feel impossible. Not sure where to start, but I bet it started with love. Starting a charity, same thing. Big, scary, bigger than you. I most definitely know that that would start with love. Oh, where am I going with all of this? Where I'm going is that love does conquer fear. Love can override that fear and take that fear from something that is stopping you and turn it into something that propels you forward. So, quick story about me. In 2007, when our daughter was only one, I decided that I was tired of taking crappy pictures of her. So, I hopped onto eBay and I bought myself a fancy camera. Now, back in 2007, a fancy camera was a Rebel XT and a kit lens. And as many of you know, I'm a professional photographer in my other life. And so, this was all new to me. Sure, I'd taken some classes in high school that was film, but I had not ever used a digital SLR before. So fast forward a couple days, I knew pretty instantly that I wanted to be a professional photographer. Now, at the time, I was the breadwinner in my family. I was working in corporate America in pharmaceutical sales. I was making multi-six figures, and my husband was a teacher. So the day that I sat down with him and looked at him and said, I want to be a professional photographer, he thought I was out of my mind. And you know what? In a way, I kind of was. But as I mentioned in episode one, I've always been a big dreamer. And at the time, I'd been through a couple layoffs, a couple of realignments with companies, and I was really, really ready to put my career in my own hands and to really have more full control over my career. And it, yes, it was enough for me to want to start my own business. And more importantly, it really, the job that I had was amazing. I worked with incredible people. I actually worked, at the time, I was working in the OR selling to surgeons. I sold to cardiovascular surgeons, neurosurgeons, and orthopedic surgeons. And it did nothing for me creatively, though. So not only was this my plan B in the event that I got laid off again, but it also filled this creative need in me that had really been lacking for about 10 years in that industry. And so I looked at him. I remember that day so clearly. I looked at him and I said, trust me when I say our life will be richer in other ways. And the ball was set in motion. I spent 3 years from 2007 to 2010 learning as much as I possibly could, shooting as many clients as I could possibly shoot, building up my business that in May of 2010, I walked away from that high-paying, amazing job to chase my dream of being a full-time photographer. Yes, it was a very, very scary time in our lives. It was a very scary time in my career, but the basis of it came out of love. And the basis, the foundation of that decision came from a place that I knew in my heart I wanted to go. And it was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. And because of that, I have no regrets whatsoever. In 2013, I was just a few years into being full-time in my business. And I was always looking for motivation. I was always looking for ways to organize myself. And of course, looking for ways to really push forward and overcome some of my own fears. I think there's one thing in being a small business owner, whether you're a brick and mortar store or you're an online entrepreneur or you're creative, that putting yourself out there in that kind of way, I think fear comes with the territory. You know, you're always questioning yourself, am I doing this right? Am I doing this the best way I can? Am I being true to myself? And those are questions that I constantly ask myself as well. And in doing so, I was constantly stumbling upon different speakers and different authors and different personalities in my industry that really helped me work through some of those fears that I had. And one of those is Lara Casey. I absolutely love kind of everything she does. I will put a link to her main website in the show notes. I actually had the chance to meet her in person in 2014 when I was at a film workshop in Charleston, South Carolina. And she's just really an incredible person that has a way with words. Her faith is strong. And she was just a huge influence in me in the first couple of years and still is to this day in life and in business. You know, and one of the things that she really talked about back then that I stumbled upon that really, really resonated with me is a post that she posted in 2013 about naming your fear. I will also link to that in the show notes. But one thing that she said that really stood out was to name your fears is to destroy them. So I'm going to ask you to do this today because I did this way back when and I continue to do this every time I'm up against something that is causing me a lot of fear, is to name it, is to actually write it down. Write down what you've been putting off out of fear and write three little baby steps that you can do to take action on those fears. And that advice comes from her, not from me. But what is it? You know, it's okay. Once you see that fear on paper, it almost minimizes it. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that maybe say, okay, write the fear, then burn it, or write the fear, then turn it into a paper airplane and send it off, whatever you need to do. This is the simplest thing I can do, you know, to give you a quick little tool. But, or if you're driving, say it out loud. I've done that before too. I've actually sat on my couch and said my fear out loud. It's almost as if sending my fear into the universe minimizes it for me in some way because it reminds me how big the universe is in comparison to my fear. So there's something powerful in that, and I've definitely done that before. But name your fear. So if you're driving in your car right now and you're listening to this podcast, A, thank you for listening, but B, say your fear out loud. Something about saying that fear out loud will make it real, number one, and will also minimize it. And then the next thing I want you to do is sit in that fear. Stare at it on the piece of paper. Listen to the reverberations when you're in your car after you said it. Feel it. Really, really settle into that fear. And then start to ask yourself these questions. What's the alternative if you don't face that fear? Is it a loveless marriage or a job you hate? Is it maybe living a life without joy? I can tell you right now, one of my biggest fears is to have a life with no purpose, or to, at the end of my life, only have lived the length of my life and not the width of my life. And so thinking about sitting in your fear and thinking about, if I don't face this fear, what would my life look like or what would happen, is scary in itself, quite honestly. Then ask yourself, what if I fail? What's the worst possible scenario that could happen if I fail? And start to go through those kind of things in your head. I went through this a lot when I was putting together this podcast, and when my fear would get the best of me, I'd find myself in days where I did nothing. You know, I couldn't act. I didn't know which direction to turn. I didn't really know exactly where to start. And so I would take myself there intentionally and say, what if I fail? What's the worst thing that could happen if my podcast fails? Even today, sitting here, not even a week old, the worst thing that could happen is that I make a couple episodes, 10 people listen, and off we go into the sunset. Not a big deal. So I'm not cut out to be a podcaster. That's the worst possible scenario that could happen. But I know, because I've taken myself through that fear, that I'm bigger than my fear. And I know that putting this podcast together for you, for the listeners, comes from a place of love and a place of a solid why. And so that instantly minimized that fear for me. You know, and then of course, taking that first step, taking those first tiny itsy bitsy steps into your fear can really make all the difference. Whether you need to write those fears or those baby steps down, or you need to just do something small today, do something tiny. Maybe it's putting together your thoughts and writing them down on paper, or maybe it's making a phone call or sending an email or reaching out to someone that is an expert in the field that you're looking to go into. Maybe it's something as simple as sending a DM on Instagram to someone or making a comment on a Facebook post. I mean, these steps don't have to be enormous. They just have to be baby steps. And just starting before you're ready and setting those baby steps in motion takes that fear and makes it just a little bit smaller. Giving your fear some accountability, and more importantly, giving yourself some accountability, is also a great baby step. Your fear is not going to kill you. The only thing your fear is going to kill is your potential to be or do something wonderful or to do something brave. That's the only thing your fear is going to kill. It's not going to kill you. Okay, now I'm starting to feel preachy. So that's usually my cue that it's time to wrap my thoughts up. And I never want to come off that I'm telling you what to do or that I'm preaching to you the gospel of my life and how you should live yours, because that is absolutely not the goal in this podcast. Whether it's coming from me or whether it's coming from a guest, I want you to remember that we are all here forging our own paths. We are all here living our own lives. We are all here facing our own fears. And of course, that we're all in this together. We all vibe as one. I will say that over and over and over again. But it's just so true. And it's so good to be able to have a place where you feel safe to release those fears. And it's always good to have a tribe to bounce your fears off of or to share your fears with. Because again, naming your fears, putting them out there, is just one baby step into conquering them. And it's one step out of fear and into love. And so with that, I thank you for coming back to Beautiful Faults Podcast. I thank you for listening in to episode number 2, Fear and Love Cannot Coexist. I hope this information in this episode today left you with a few nuggets to take into your weekend, a few tidbits to get the ball rolling and to crush your fears, as they say. And I just want to thank you for coming along with me in this scary but awesome experience of launching a podcast. Episode 3 will be coming out midweek next week. I'm going to take a little spin on Friday of next week and put out a shorter version of my favorite things. So Fridays are hard for me. I don't know about you guys, but Fridays are like a day of mayhem and craziness. I'm starting to wind down and spend some time with my family. If I have a wedding to shoot over the weekend, then I'm kind of gearing up for that. Or I have an open weekend and I'm excited to see friends and family and do something fun. So Fridays for me aren't typically, I don't have a lot of free time. So I figured you guys are probably like that too. So on Fridays from now on, I'm going to be sharing some of my favorite things. So it could be books, it could be skincare. I'm an overshare. I love to share products and things that I'm passionate about. So tune into that next Friday. Again, we will have a full episode coming out midweek next week, however. And just a reminder that it's really, really important for me to hear how much you like the show. So right now we are on Spotify and we are on iTunes. It's very easy for you to hit the follow button or hit the subscribe button or leave a review so that others can hear how much you're enjoying the podcast, if you are, and hopefully you are. And other than that, I think that's all I have for today. And I look forward to catching up with you next week. and I will see you on the other side.